Well, good morning, and welcome to the Altria Group Incorporated 2012 Annual Meeting of Shareholders. I now call the meeting to order. I'm Mike Szymanczyk, Chairman of the Board and Chief Executive Officer of Altria. We welcome all shareholders, employees, and retirees here today, as well as those who are joining us by audio webcast. Let me introduce the other executives who have joined me on the stage this morning. Denise Keene is Altria's Executive Vice President and General Counsel, and Brandt Surgner is our Corporate Secretary. My remarks today contain certain forward-looking statements and reference non-GAAP financial measures. I direct your attention to the forward-looking and cautionary statements and reconciliations of non-GAAP to GAAP measures on altria.com. There are cards on your seats with the agenda and rules for today's meeting. We will start with the presentation of certain formal documents by the Corporate Secretary, proceed to the election of the Board of Directors, and then move to the ratification of PricewaterhouseCoopers as Altria's independent auditors. I will then share with you a business update focusing on Altria's continuing progress against its corporate mission, which enables the company to deliver superior returns to our shareholders. We will then have an advisory vote on the compensation of Altria's named executive officers. A question and answer session will follow, and then we will vote on one shareholder proposal. The Corporate Secretary will report on the preliminary voting results, and then we will close our meeting. Brandt will now present certain formal documents.
Thank you, Mike. I present to the meeting, together with affidavits of mailing, a copy of the notice of meeting, form of proxy statement, and annual report, which includes financial statements for the fiscal year ending December 31, 2011. The holders of record of common stock at the close of business on March 26, 2012, are entitled to vote at this meeting. 86% of Altria's common stock is represented here today, so a quorum is present for the transaction of business.
Brandt, please file the documents with the records of the meeting. I appoint representatives from Computershare, the transfer agent for Altria's common stock, as inspectors of election. Inspectors are instructed to execute the oath and to take custody of all proxies and the certified list of holders of common stock as of the close of business on March 26, 2012. This list, which is available for inspection throughout the meeting, contains the names and addresses of all common shareholders and the shares held by each. The inspector's responsibility is to determine the number of shares represented at the meeting and to certify the vote of all matters presented at the meeting. All proxies and ballots are confidential unless shareholders have written comments on them. We will now distribute proxy cards to any shareholders in the room who have not yet returned them. Shareholders who have already returned their proxy cards or voted by the internet, mail, or telephone do not need to submit a new card. If you need a proxy card, please raise your hand. Upon conclusion of the voting, please return the proxy card to an usher who will deliver it to the inspectors. I want to welcome our Board of Directors. Their skills and experience provide Altria with strong leadership and thoughtful oversight. In addition to the directors elected at the 2011 annual meeting, Leo Kiely, Marty Barrington, and Catherine McQuade were unanimously elected to the board since last year's meeting and have been nominated for election by shareholders at the 2012 annual meeting. I have previously announced my intention to retire as Chairman and CEO upon the conclusion of today's meeting and am not standing for re-election to the board. The election of the Board of Directors is the first matter as set forth in the notice of meeting. Denise, please announce those nominees' names appearing in the proxy.
The nominees are Elizabeth E. Bailey, Gerald L. Baliles, Martin J. Barrington, John T. Casteen III, Dinyar S. Devitre, Thomas F. Farrell II, Thomas W. Jones, W. Leo Kiely III, Catherine B. McQuade, George Munoz, and Nabil Weissacob, each to hold office until the next annual meeting of shareholders or until his or her successor shall have been duly elected.
Thank you, Denise. Under our bylaws, the nominations are closed. Those in the room wishing to vote on the nomination of directors should do so now. I would like to introduce Bill Brennan of PricewaterhouseCoopers. The next item on the agenda is the ratification of PricewaterhouseCoopers, LLP, as Altria's independent registered public accounting firm. Denise, please present the matter.
I move the adoption of the following resolution. Resolved that the selection of PricewaterhouseCoopers, LLP, as Altria's independent registered public accounting firm for the fiscal year ending December 31st, 2012, be ratified.
Those in the room wishing to vote on the ratification of independent auditors should do so at this time. Altria delivered strong returns for shareholders in 2011 while taking steps to continue creating shareholder value into the future. Our business results continued to be driven by our operating company's strong premium brands, Marlboro, Copenhagen, Skoal, and Black & Mild. These brands hold leading positions in the largest and most profitable tobacco categories in the United States. Our tobacco businesses were complemented by growing alcohol assets and a strong balance sheet that supported significant cash returns to shareholders. Altria also successfully managed external challenges like regulation and litigation, notwithstanding the payment of some tobacco and health judgments. Altria grew its adjusted diluted earnings per share by 7.9% in 2011, which is consistent with adjusted EPS results over the last few years. Altria delivered total shareholder return of 26.9% in 2011, significantly outperforming the return of the S&P 500 index. Altria is one of only three companies whose total shareholder return has exceeded the S&P 500 index return in each of the last 12 years. Altria's business results continued to be driven by our employees' commitment to our mission and values. Our mission is to own and develop financially disciplined businesses that are leaders in responsibly providing adult tobacco and wine consumers with superior branded products. We pursue our mission by focusing on four strategies. Invest in leadership, align with society, satisfy adult consumers, and create substantial value for shareholders. Five core values guide how we do our work: integrity, trust, and respect, passion to succeed, executing with quality, driving creativity into everything we do, and sharing with others. Our companies and their employees have made significant progress on our four strategies in recent years while upholding our values. Our first strategy is to invest in leadership by focusing on developing leaders and investing in leading brands, our business partners, and our communities. Business results are dependent upon talented people. Even as the total number of people we employ has declined in recent years, we remain focused on attracting, developing, and retaining talented and diverse employees at all levels. Over the years, Altria has built a strong people development system that develops leaders at every level of the organization. That system includes a process for ongoing performance management and talent development. In 2011, we revised this process to raise our performance standards, reward our employees for achieving operating efficiencies, and recognize our employees for promoting our culture of compliance. Through our employees, we maintain strong relationships with our business partners, working with them to promote actions consistent with our mission and values. It is important to us that our partners understand that we care about both the business results and how they are achieved. Our supplier code of conduct outlines what we expect from them and what they can expect from us. Altria and its companies use a diverse base of suppliers, including minority and women-owned businesses. In January, DiversityBusiness.com ranked Altria sixth on its list of America's top organizations for multicultural business opportunities, up from ninth place in 2011. Our tobacco companies work with tobacco merchants and growers, non-government organizations, university extension programs, and government to promote good agricultural practices that are environmentally, socially, and economically sustainable. In 2011, our tobacco companies published gap assessment data on Altria's website and expanded the resources and tools distributed to growers. Our companies and our employees make significant contributions to the communities where we live and work. Altria's corporate contributions focus on four areas: culture, education, the environment, and positive youth development. In 2011, the company made nearly $50 million in cash and in-kind contributions to nonprofit organizations. For example, with our support, the nonprofit organization Higher Achievement opened two after-school learning centers in Richmond to help students improve academic performance. We also announced a $1 million grant to the Thurgood Marshall College Fund to support certification of math and science teachers in our priority communities. Altria has given $1 million to the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation, which allowed the foundation and its grantees to obtain an additional $14.5 million in matching funds and grants to benefit the Chesapeake Bay watershed. In addition to company contributions, we support our employees who give back to their communities. The Altria Company's Employee Community Fund, which is managed and funded by employees, expanded from its base in Central Virginia to operating communities in Illinois, Kentucky, Pennsylvania, and Tennessee, contributing $2.6 million to 113 grantees. In addition to monetary support, Altria's companies, employees, their friends and families volunteered over 27,000 hours of community service and company-sponsored events in 2011. In addition, 50 executives served on nearly 60 nonprofit boards. Our second strategy is to align with society by actively participating in resolving societal concerns that are relevant to our businesses. Our tobacco companies have actively worked for many years to help reduce underage tobacco use and continue to support solutions to address this issue. Each of our tobacco companies develops and implements an annual plan to help reduce underage tobacco use. They support school and community-based programs designed to prepare kids for success, including avoiding risky behaviors like underage tobacco use. Grants made by our companies in 2011 are expected to reach approximately 1.5 million middle school kids and nearly 775,000 adult influencers in 2012. With programs and information to help reduce underage tobacco use. Each company supports responsible retailing of tobacco products and the We Card program and follows laws and guidelines to market tobacco products responsibly. They also educate and engage employees and external stakeholders to help reduce underage tobacco use. Significant progress has been made in reducing overall underage tobacco use, which is at its lowest level in a generation. We are also encouraged by government data that show illegal retail tobacco sales to minors are at historic lows, with more than 90% of retailers complying with minimum age laws in 2010. In March, the U.S. Surgeon General issued a report focused on preventing tobacco use among youth and young adults. The report applauded the progress that has been made to reduce youth tobacco use while reiterating public health policy recommendations to address this issue. The report called for a variety of approaches, including school-based policies and programs, accessible and affordable cessation options, price increases, including those that result from tax increases, and comprehensive smoking bans. Our tobacco company's positions and actions on several of these issues are outlined on our website. We agree with the overwhelming medical and scientific consensus that cigarette smoking is addictive and causes serious diseases in smokers. We share information about our company's actions to address underage tobacco use. their position on legislative issues like tax increases and smoking bans, and their engagement with the Food and Drug Administration on regulatory issues that include tobacco advertising restrictions. We also discuss our tobacco companies' marketing practices, including those that focus their marketing activities toward adult tobacco consumers while limiting reach to unintended audiences. In addition, our tobacco companies provide cessation information through the QuitAssist resource, which is designed to connect adult tobacco consumers who have decided to quit with expert quitting information from public health authorities. Cigarette prices have risen significantly since 2000. The average price of a pack of cigarettes increased 80% from 2000 to 2011. In 2011, 55% of the average pack price went to government in the form of excise taxes, settlement payments, and sales tax. Last year, adult tobacco consumers paid more than $35 billion in federal, state, and local excise taxes. PM USA alone has paid more than $59 billion to the states under the tobacco settlement agreements entered into with the states in the late 1990s. For many years, PM USA has encouraged the states to use a portion of the settlement payments to fund youth smoking prevention and cessation programs at the levels recommended by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Underage tobacco use is just one of the areas now regulated by FDA. Altria's tobacco companies worked for years supporting passage of the law that granted FDA the authority to regulate tobacco products. Federal law mandates that cigarettes and smokeless tobacco be sold behind the counter through age-verified transactions and makes it illegal to sell tobacco to minors. The FDA has partnered with the states to conduct more than 50,000 compliance checks at retail establishments and reports that 95% of those retailers were in compliance with FDA regulations. PM USA and USSTC remain focused on their own compliance obligations related to FDA regulation. Last year, we conducted FDA awareness training for employees of those companies and supporting service companies. The course emphasized the importance of complying with FDA regulations. It described processes implemented to promote FDA compliance and reinforced individual employee accountability in this area. PMUSA and USSTC continue to enhance their manufacturing processes and quality management systems in preparation for potential FDA regulation of our manufacturing practices. USSTC's facility in Franklin Park, Illinois, received ISO certification in 2011. Our companies work to reduce their impact on the environment. They focus on reducing energy use, greenhouse gas emissions, and water use, and increasing recycling of waste from their facilities. For example, through 2011, our companies reduced both energy use and air emissions by 23%. Versus a 2008 baseline. In addition, they work with key stakeholders to reduce the environmental impact of their products. For example, PMUSA has partnered with Keep America Beautiful to support its cigarette litter prevention program. In 2011, Keep America Beautiful reported an average reduction in cigarette litter of 54% in more than 250 communities implementing the program. Our third strategy is to satisfy adult consumers by converting our deep understanding of adult tobacco and wine consumers into better and more creative products that satisfy their preferences. For nearly 60 years, Marlboro has been the cigarette that men smoke for flavor, and adult smokers have been invited to come to where the flavor is, come to Marlboro Country. The brand's positioning and strong equity, coupled with successful new products, have supported a long history of retail share growth and its evolution into an iconic consumer products brand. Marlboro has historically grown by expanding its reach and breadth among adult smokers, and PM USA is evolving Marlboro's brand architecture to help support future growth. Marlboro has four different product families within the brand. The Marlboro Red family of products reflects the brand's traditional values of independence, hard work, and freedom. The Marlboro Gold family builds on these core values, but in a modern, sophisticated, and innovative manner. Marlboro Green reflects the brand's values in a social and extroverted way, and Marlboro Black builds on Marlboro's rich heritage of adventure and ruggedness in a bold, modern way. PM USA launched Marlboro Black in non-menthol and menthol varieties in bold, modern packaging in 2011. PM USA plans to support this new Marlboro architecture with brand-building initiatives and equity-enhancing products and programs throughout 2012 and 2013. Black and Mild is the best any-day cigar adults enjoy because of its unique taste and pleasant aroma. Since adult cigar smokers seek variety from their brand, Black and Mild has introduced a number of tipped and untipped cigarillo varieties over the past few years. Black and Mild has maintained its leadership position in the tipped cigarillo segment by complementing its original offerings with new products, including Wood Tip, Wine, and Royale. The brand has also begun to build its position in untipped cigarillos with the launch of classics, sweets, and wine varieties. In the smokeless product segment, USSTC focuses on its premium brands, Copenhagen and Skoal. USSTC aims to maximize the combined performance of these premium brands while working to leverage the strengths and equity of each. Copenhagen and Skoal enjoy unique positions in the minds of adult dippers and have complementary product portfolio strategies designed to maximize USSTC's performance in the moist smokeless tobacco category. Copenhagen and Skoal give USSTC the number one position in every MST form segment and in the natural, mint, straight, and blend taste segments. Copenhagen is the most satisfying smokeless tobacco for men. The brand's strong equity is built around core values such as masculinity, adventure, heritage, authenticity, and tradition. Over the last few years, Copenhagen has filled gaps in its product portfolio in segments where it had not historically competed. The introductions of Wintergreen Long Cut and Pouch and the straight and extra long cut natural varieties have helped the brand gain retail share in new segments while maintaining its leadership position in the natural segment. Copenhagen reinforces its core positioning through a number of direct communications to adult dippers. These efforts include equity and value communications via direct mail and email, brand engagement events, including the Men of Copenhagen promotion, and events that build community through giving. Skoal is perceived by adult dippers as a modern and innovative brand that delivers a unique, smooth MST experience. Skoal's equity communications reinforce this proposition with the tagline, "It's smooth, it's Skoal." Skoal's products deliver great taste and forms that are easy to manage, a very relevant proposition in today's dynamic smokeless segment. In 2011, Skoal introduced several new products to appeal to adult dippers' evolving taste preferences, including pouch and long cut varieties of Skoal Extra and two new mint varieties of Skoal Snooze, a spit-free tobacco pouch product. PM USA and USSTC are particularly focused on developing new smokeless tobacco products to meet the interests of adult cigarette smokers. Our research tells us that about 30% of adult smokers are interested in spit-free smokeless alternatives to cigarettes. To address this issue, adult smoker interest, our companies introduced a number of smokeless tobacco products into lead markets last year, including several innovative new products. These lead markets are providing important learnings about adult tobacco consumer reactions to these formats. We also have a rich product pipeline in development. In addition to internal research and development, our companies are working with third parties to develop and commercialize innovative new products for adult tobacco consumers. Altria Client Services has entered into an agreement with Okano, an affiliate of the Danish company Fertin Pharma, to develop innovative, non-combustible, nicotine-containing products. The companies are forming a joint venture to market and sell these kinds of products outside of the United States. Burton is a global leader in the development and manufacture of nicotine gum with additional capabilities in other products and technologies. This initiative combines the expertise of the Altria family of companies with Vocano and its affiliates' product development and manufacturing capabilities. The introduction of new cigarettes and smokeless tobacco products is now regulated by FDA. These rules apply to all tobacco manufacturers, creating a level playing field. The success of future new product introductions will depend, in part, on a company's ability to navigate the available product pathways under the law. PMUSA and USSTC have actively engaged with FDA and others on issues related to tobacco product innovation and will continue to do so. FDA regulation provides an opportunity to benefit adult tobacco consumers by providing a framework to evaluate tobacco products that are potentially less harmful than conventional cigarettes and by creating clear principles for accurate and scientifically grounded communications to adult consumers. PMUSA and USSTC have encouraged FDA to develop scientifically rigorous and achievable evaluation criteria for modified risk tobacco products. They have also encouraged FDA to apply these criteria in a balanced way so that the potential public health benefit of modified risk tobacco products can be realized. When we successfully execute these first three strategies, we make progress on our fourth strategy, which is to create substantial value for shareholders. PMUSA's objective in the cigarette category is to maximize income while maintaining modest share momentum on Marlboro over time. PMUSA has delivered on both these goals in recent years despite a challenging economic environment. In 2010, Marlboro gained 0.8 of a share point behind the introduction of Marlboro Special Blend. In 2011, Marlboro retained some but not all of this share, reflecting PMUSA's decision not to build on price-promoted share. Excluding charges for restructuring and tobacco and health judgments, adjusted cigarette segment operating companies' income grew 5.2% to $5.9 billion in 2011. Adjusted cigarette segment operating companies' income margins also grew by 1.8 percentage points in 2011 versus the prior year. Middleton continues to focus on building its position in the machine-made large cigar category with Black & Mild. An influx of low-priced imported machine-made cigars following the federal excise tax increase in 2009 created a challenging competitive environment for Middleton, impacting its income and margins. Middleton responded by enhancing Black & Mild's marketplace position with new products and brand-building initiatives and making changes in its manufacturing infrastructure. These efforts led to a strong 2011 retail share performance for Black & Mild and contributed to Middleton's improved income and margin performance in the second half of last year. In the smokeless tobacco category, USSTC aims to increase income through volume growth, primarily by focusing on Copenhagen and Skoal. Shipment volume for these brands increased 6.5% in 2011. This growth helped our smokeless product segment adjusted operating companies' income grow 7.7% versus the prior year to $896 million. Ste. Michelle's objective in the wine category is to grow income by expanding its portfolio of premium wine brands. Ste. Michelle grew its adjusted operating company's income 14.5% in 2011 as its volume increased 9.6%. Cost management remains a focus of Altria. Altria completed a $1.5 billion multi-year cost savings program ahead of schedule in the third quarter of 2011. Following the completion of this program, we announced a new program that we expect to deliver $400 million in savings versus previously planned spending by the end of 2013. Altria's strong balance sheet supports our ability to return a significant portion of cash to shareholders, primarily in the form of dividends, but also through opportunistic share repurchases. Dividends remain an important component of Altria's shareholder return as the company targets paying out approximately 80% of its adjusted diluted EPS in the form of dividends. All dividend payments remain subject to the discretion of Altria's board of directors. Since the spinoff of PMI in 2008, Altria has increased its dividend 5 times for an increase of 41%, including a 7.9% increase approved by the board last August. In 2011, Altria paid $3.2 billion in dividends to shareholders. Altria also returned cash to shareholders through share repurchases, buying back $1.3 billion of its shares in 2011 at an average price of $26.91 a share. Altria is off to an excellent start in 2012. In the first quarter, our smokable and smokeless product segments grew their adjusted operating company's income and margins behind the strong performances of our tobacco company's premium brands and effective cost management. Our tobacco companies grew retail share of the categories in which they compete. Marlboro cigarette retail share benefited from investment in its new brand architecture. Marlboro delivered strong 2012 first quarter sequential share growth of 7/10 of a share point versus the fourth quarter of 2011 and grew its year-over-year share by 1/10 of a share point to 42.3%. Black & Mild delivered strong retail share gains for the first quarter, increasing 1.4 percentage points to 30.7%. Adjusted operating company's income for the smokable products segment increased by 3.9% to $1.4 billion, while adjusted operating company's income margins increased 1.5 percentage points to 41%, driven by Marlboro. In the smokeless product segment, Copenhagen and Skoal grew their combined retail share by 2.3 share points to 50.3% as Copenhagen continued to show strong momentum. The strong performance of these brands contributed to an 8.8% increase in adjusted operating company's income for the smokeless product segment. In the wine segment, Ste. Michelle's continued focus on expanding the distribution of its premium wines delivered volume growth of 6.6% for the first quarter of 2012. Adjusted operating company's income was flat for the first quarter as Ste. Michelle had higher costs for certain wine vintages and investments to build its sales force. The performances of our tobacco and wine businesses, along with gains on asset sales by PMCC and earnings from our equity investment in SAB Miller, contributed to strong adjusted diluted EPS growth for the first quarter. Altria grew its adjusted diluted EPS by 11.4% behind the strength of our diverse business platform. We are pleased with these financial results for the first quarter, which were consistent with our expectations. Altria reaffirms that it expects its 2012 adjusted diluted EPS will increase by 6-9% to a range of $2.17 to $2.23 from an adjusted base of $2.05 per share in 2011. Altria's pursuit of its mission has delivered strong returns for shareholders over time. From 2009 to 2011, Altria delivered a total return to shareholders of 134%. During this time, the company's returned $10.2 billion to shareholders through dividends and share repurchases. Our results have also been recognized by a number of outside organizations. Earlier this year, Fortune magazine ranked Altria fourth among all companies for corporate social responsibility and 10th for financial soundness in its annual survey of the world's most admired companies. Corporate Responsibility magazine ranked Altria 15th on its 100 best corporate citizens list, an increase of 20 positions versus 2011. The 100 best corporate citizens list evaluates the largest U.S. publicly traded companies in the Russell 1000 on their performance in environmental management, climate change, employee relations, human rights, governance, finance, and philanthropy. Corporate Knights, an organization that promotes clean capitalism, ranked Altria 14th among S&P 500 companies on its clean capitalism rankings. Altria has also been recognized for its disclosure of political activities, including contributions by its companies and its political compliance program. The Center for Political Accountability, Zicklin Index for Corporate Political Disclosure and Accountability, and the Baruch Index for Corporate Political Disclosure recognized Altria in 2011 as a leader in publicly disclosing its political activities. We are pleased with our business performance and the results that we have achieved. We believe that our executive compensation programs are an important contributor to strong shareholder returns. These programs are designed to align the interests of executives and shareholders to promote the company's mission and business strategies and reward the achievement of corporate and individual performance goals. At the annual meeting of shareholders in 2011, more than 93% of the shares cast approved on an advisory basis the compensation of the company's named executive officers, demonstrating strong support for alignment of shareholder interests with our executive compensation programs and philosophy. The next item on the agenda is an advisory vote to approve the compensation of named executive officers. While this vote is non-binding, the Compensation Committee intends to consider the outcome of this vote when making future compensation decisions for named executive officers. The Board recommends that shareholders approve on an advisory basis the compensation for our named executive officers as described in the Compensation Discussion and Analysis section of the proxy statement. Those in the room wishing to vote on this matter should do so at this time. We will now transition to our 30-minute question and answer session. We have placed two microphones in the aisles for use in asking questions. We will alternate between the microphones until our time is up or we have run out of questions. The ushers will assist you in getting to the microphones. We ask that each speaker limit his or her question to 2 minutes so that all who wish to ask a question may have an opportunity to do so. Brant will help us watch our time with a lighting system. When a speaker has 30 seconds remaining, the light in front of the stage will turn from green to yellow. When a speaker's time is expired, the light will turn red and the speaker should please conclude his or her question. Thank you for your cooperation. You may ask a follow-up question after all other shareholders have asked their questions. If there is not enough time for all questions in today's meeting, please complete a comment card which an usher can provide and then return the card to him or her. We will respond to you promptly. Please identify yourself and address your question to me. Let's begin. Do I have a question over here on my right?
Good morning, Mike. It's Ann Gorkin with Davenport.
Good morning, Ann.
First, I'd like to thank you for your leadership of Altria. Congratulations on your retirement, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you very much.
My question is, what is your confidence level in getting new products to the marketplace to grow Altria's innovation story?
Well, I think that's a good question. I discussed that some in my remarks, particularly as it relates to what's categorized as modified risk tobacco products. And I do believe that the fact that this particular segment is a part of the FDA legislative mandate and that the FDA has started to work on that, has offered up some preliminary thoughts on guidelines for this particular area, makes us optimistic that this is going to be an approach that we will be able to take advantage of going on into the future, and that it offers up the opportunity for both consumers of tobacco products, particularly smokers, and for the company to make progress in what I think is a very important area for the future. So I think we're pretty optimistic about the work that FDA has done thus far, and look forward to their continued good work. Thanks very much for your question. Over here on my left.
Hello, Mr. Szymanski and
Hello.
Shareholders. My name is Michael Crosby. I'm a Capuchin Franciscan brother from Milwaukee. And we're going to have a shareholder resolution that we're presenting, but I want to make a comment and then a question at the end of my comment. Last year, different tobacco companies began the process of coming together to address problems in the fields with tobacco farm workers. We rely on the farm workers to get product. And as a result of looking and acknowledging the problems in the fields with tobacco farm workers, a multi-stakeholder meeting was in the process of evolving since last year's shareholder meetings at the big three U.S. tobacco companies. In fact, even Alliance One and Universal were involved in the effort to bring about some way of resolving the problems there. And El Trio was in there, and Monica Buckstra and others in the company were very cooperative in trying to address this issue. And last month, there was the beginning meeting to bring together the industry, the farmers and their associations, the farm workers and their representatives. And I wasn't there because I had other commitments, but our representative from the Interfaith Center on Corporate Responsibility said it's moving very well toward some kind of way of addressing it. And you just alluded a little bit to your corporate responsibility in that area, Mr. Szymanski. And I just thought, given that, could you elaborate a little bit more on how you see this effort going?
Yeah. Well, welcome, Father Crosby, and thank you very much for your question. And I might start by acknowledging the good work that you have done in this particular area and stimulating people looking at it closely and getting organized to try to improve agricultural practices on the farm as it relates to tobacco growing. I did allude to some of the work that we've done, the development of our own good agricultural practices approach for the growers that we contract with and for the folks overseas that we buy tobacco through. As well as monitoring systems that we put in place, some of which came about through work with you, and the continued efforts that you spoke of that continue to evolve going forward into the future. There is, in fact, quite a bit of information on this subject and what we've done, what progress we've made, scorecards as we've looked at what farms are doing on the website. And so I would offer that up to shareholders as an approach to finding out more detail about this important area. So thanks very much again for your leadership in this area. Do I have a question over here?
Yes. Good morning. I'm Edward Sweda, SWEDA, a shareholder from Massachusetts.
Good morning.
Good morning. My question, note that both in the annual report and earlier this morning, you said regarding tobacco litigation that Altria, quote, successfully managed the external challenges of litigation in 2011. Now, on March 26th of this year, the U.S. Supreme Court declined to consider Altria's appeal in the Campbell case. It's one of the Engle progeny verdicts in Florida, and also declined to hear Reynolds American's appeal in the Martin case. Now, in its petition for certiorari that was filed in December, Reynolds American's attorneys claimed that, quote, in their conduct of the Engle progeny litigation, the Florida state courts are engaged in serial due process violations that threaten the defendants with literally billions of dollars of liability, unquote. And those attorneys also warned that if the Supreme Court did not provide, quote, prompt review, unquote, of these verdicts, then, quote, the massive liability imposed on the Engle defendants, which currently stands at over $375 million in adverse judgments, will likewise steadily increase as Engle progeny trials continue with no end in sight, unquote. And as I said, less than 2 months ago, the Supreme Court, in fact, decided not to consider the tobacco defendants' appeals in these cases. So my question is regarding tobacco litigation, and especially the cases in Florida. Why shouldn't investors and shareholders rely on what the tobacco company lawyers say directly to the U.S. Supreme Court rather than what you are telling us today?
Well, I think what shareholders should rely on is the disclosure that's in the 10-Q, and there is a very complete and detailed disclosure in the 10-Q related to Engle and related to the other litigation that the company's engaged in. And the Engle trial itself is a very complex trial. It has lots of pieces to it. You talked about a couple. Yesterday, the Florida Supreme Court agreed to hear a due process appeal in one of the Engle cases. So it continues to evolve. We continue to feel like what we're disclosing about this is complete and provides shareholders with a good understanding of what is a complex piece of litigation, and I would direct you and others to thoroughly read the disclosures that are in the 10-Q, which are updated regularly. So thanks very much for being here, and thanks very much for raising what is, I think, an important issue for the company. Goes without saying that litigation remains a challenging risk for this company, and so it's an area that it's important for shareholders to understand. Thank you. Over here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Julian Martinez, and I'm representing Sarah Jobs for Progress National, Inc. Sarah is a national nonprofit 501c3 corporation serving the needs of Hispanic Americans. Sarah was organized in 1964 by the League of United Latin American Citizens and American GI Forum to help Hispanics prepare for and find jobs. Sarah now operates charter schools, daycare centers, one-stop centers, programs for the elderly, teaches financial literacy courses, and many other services that help individuals become productive members of our society. Sarah is made up of 30 affiliate organizations across the country, operating in over 200 cities and serving over 1.3 million individuals a year. We are recognized by the U.S. Department of Labor as a premier community-based organization serving the employment needs of the Hispanic community. Hispanic Business Magazine recognizes SARE as one of the top 25 nonprofit Hispanic organizations in the nation. We at SARE would like to take this opportunity to thank Altria for all they have done for the Hispanic community, and specifically for partnering with SARE and our Creciendo con Educación, Growing with Education program. You should also be commended on the diversity of your board of directors, and especially because you have included a very distinguished and respected member of the Hispanic community, George Munoz. Altria has a history of working with many community groups to help make our communities a better place to live. According to the last census, the U.S. Hispanic population grew from 35.3 million to 50.5 million from 2000 to 2010 and accounted for over half our nation's growth rate. One in four children are now Latino, and the number of Hispanic-owned businesses grew by 44% from 2002 to 2007, compared to 15% by non-Hispanic firms. The combined Latino population of the U.S. is greater than the total population of Canada and larger than any other Latin American country except Mexico and Brazil. Again, thank you for all that you do for our communities and for allowing me this opportunity to speak to you. And congratulations on your retirement, and enjoy it.
Thank you very much, and thank you for all the terrific work that your organization does. We appreciate very much you taking the time to come here and thank the company for its participation, but you do terrific work, and we're appreciative of the diversity and the perspective that that diversity brings from the Hispanic population and our Hispanic employee base. And in particular, we're appreciative to have George Munoz on our board and all his fine contributions. So thanks for being here today. Appreciate it. Do we have a question over here on my right?
Hi there, Mike.
Hello.
Annie Morrow, M-O-R-R-O-W, Donnelly.
Good morning.
Annelly of Virginia, shareholder. Thank you. With your retirement, I'm sure you look to your legacy. Certainly, you and the company have a passion for success. I'm not sure about satisfying your customers and their preferences, unless they all have a death wish. One of every two of your tobacco customers dies from using the tobacco products, often from a debilitating illness. At some point in the future, you and the company may indeed be charged with crimes against humanity. I look forward to that. As a woman, I'm especially concerned about your targeting of women in your lobbying, their health, their reproductive choices. You, yourself, your wife, many executives of Altria have donated to national figures and to state political figures who are anti-choice. And so my question is whether you yourself are anti-choice or pro-choice for a woman's right to choose her own health care and her own health, her reproductive choices, and whether you, your wife, or Altria have personally contributed to AUL, Americans United for Life. They are the ones, as you may or may not know, who wrote the ultrasound bills, the personhood bills, the very invasive and insulting bills that have swept the nation. So are you in support of Americans United for Life financially? And how do you stand on the issue of choice and pro-choice as relates to women?
Okay. Well, thanks very much for your question. If you look on the company's website and you look at issues where the company's focused on particular subjects, you'll find that this is not one of them. So this is an issue that we have determined is that we ought to be working on relative to our shareholders' interests, and so we don't. Relative to people's personal beliefs in this particular area, I don't think that's relevant at a shareholder meeting for Altria Group. But thanks very much for being here, and thanks very much for your question. Over here.
Thank you, sir. My name is Jean Cameron.
Good morning.
Jean Cameron.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'd like to know if Altria has built into its business model the contingencies for dealing with this Obamacare if it is passed by the Supreme Court.
Well, you know, I think we all in corporate America understand what's been passed, and so our approach to that is to understand how that evolves or regulations that have to come about related to that, and so we follow that so that we can be prepared to act appropriately depending on what happens. So I think that's going to continue to unfold over time, and we're paying close attention to it. As it stands now, that is the law of the land, and so we'll be prepared to deal with that in the appropriate way. Thanks very much for your question. Okay, it appears there are no more questions, or do we have another one? Is that it? Okay, thank you very much for your questions. As a reminder, if you have a question that was not addressed today, please fill out a comment card and return it to an usher. We will respond to you promptly. We will now hear a presentation on the shareholder proposal included in the proxy statement and vote on this proposal. We believe shareholders should vote against this proposal for the reasons set forth fully in the proxy statement. In the interest of time, I will not elaborate on our views today, but we encourage all shareholders to read the proposal and our response. As has been our practice, we ask that the proponent limit his or her presentation to 4 minutes or less, and each speaker commenting on the proposal to limit comments to 2 minutes or less. We will devote no more than 8 minutes to the proposal. Again, we will use the lighting system to help keep track of time. Thank you in advance for your cooperation. Would the proponent for the proposal please proceed to the microphone and identify yourself and your proposal?
Again, I'm Michael Crosby with the Capuchin Franciscans. We and 8 other members of the Interfaith Center on Corporate Responsibility have submitted the resolution that has received the support of one of the biggest institutional advisors, groups in the United States, ISS, Institutional Shareholder Services, when they analyzed what we are asking for and what the company's response is, they said it wasn't adequate enough to support the company, and so they're basically supporting us. And I'm going to give you reasons why I would ask you to support us if you haven't. The company has done a good job on articulating its political contributions. We even heard that there's been an award for that. However, on lobbying, it's a whole other issue. And there's whole things that are going on that this company hasn't disclosed that need to get out there and see some sunshine. Earlier, Mr. Szymanski talked about the company having a culture of compliance. But on this issue, there's a culture of connivance. There seems to be a connivance going on to undermine efforts to have equal access in the legislative process around lobbying. This company, just on Proposition 29 in California, has contributed two-thirds of the $40 million trying to undermine efforts to try to cease tobacco smoking among the people by raising taxes, with all sorts of connivance in terms of why the company's against it. But on the main website of this group in California that are against the proposition, it says it's a growing coalition of taxpayers, law enforcement, labor, and small businesses, asterisk, that come together. No mention that two-thirds of all the monies going into this is from a big business like us. That's connivance. When the company on its website talks about all the different entities that it's given money to, American Legislative Exchange Conference or Council has one line among the basic 40 lines per page or 35 to 40 of 21 pages of contributions. What Alec has done is equated with what St. Gertrude's High School in Richmond has done. There's no disclosure. And then when we ask disclose what the company has contributed over $50,000 in our discussions with the company, it won't do that. And so how in the world can we talk about we're equal access to the legislative process when the company is involved in these behind-the-scenes efforts to affect the legislative processes in this country? It isn't democracy. It's corporocracy. And it's hypocrisy when there is this connivance and there isn't integrity in revealing what's going on. We have had dialogue with the company on this, two or three. Originally, on the website of the company, American Legislative Exchange Council was listed. Then after dialogue, it wasn't there anymore. It just disappeared. This morning when I went to look, it's back up again. This isn't real transparency on the part of the company. We're asking for transparency on this critical issue that is affecting the health of people, not just in California, but all over. We don't know how the legislation is made, but the company is behind the scenes working with these groups. It is on the board of directors. Okay, it's on the corporate board. And so
thank you.
We're just
thank
saying
you, Father Crosby.
Vote for our resolution.
Thank you, Father Crosby. Okay. Are there any other comments on the shareholder proposal?
Yes. Again, Edward Sweeta from Massachusetts. This modest shareholder proposal comes at a time of unprecedented public concern and pushback about the excessively pervasive and powerful influence that corporations have in the American political system. In the wake of the January 2010 U.S. Supreme Court decision in the Citizens United case, which is the subject of a very comprehensive article by Jeffrey Toobin in the latest issue of The New Yorker, and that's the decision in which right-wing judicial activism has transformed the landscape of the American electoral process. Certainly, this resolution addresses a subject of utmost importance. In addition to the Supreme Court opening the floodgates to unlimited financial contributions by corporations and unions to political action committees, there's also been the revelations regarding ALEC that was just mentioned. The Altria donated $50,000 to their annual meeting, and of course, ALEC was in the news very recently for its drafting and lobbying for legislation in Florida and other states, the so-called Stand Your Ground legislation that has now gotten worldwide attention thanks to the, or in the aftermath of the killing of an unarmed 17-year-old boy, Trayvon Martin. So disclosure in that regard has certainly been lacking. And then also just finalize by noting that a news article came out this week indicating that the effort against Prop 29 in California, $40 million, that's the highest, that's the greatest number of dollars spent politically for any super PAC in the country except for Mitt Romney's Restore Our Future. And as Father Crosby mentioned, that has not been adequately disclosed on the website or other communications from this entity. So I'll just end by saying that Altria's association with ALEC should have been disclosed to shareholders. The company, I noticed you mentioned the Surgeon General's report in your presentation, noting that price increases help deter smoking by youth. The support
thank
of
you.
The
thank
opposition
you very much.
Prop 29.
Thank you very much. Okay. Are there any other comments on the shareholder proposal?
Thank you, yes. Again, Ann Morrow Donnelly, shareholder from Virginia, in support of this resolution, certainly also seconding it. And certainly, in your lobbying, as the woman asked the question in regard to Obamacare and health care, this company, it's been documented, fought against the health care proposals back when they were outlined by Hillary Clinton. They fought against the public option that was being discussed before the current law. And now with the law having been passed, this company is both working to have it repealed at the same time applying for the accepting the law's appropriations. This was revealed in a survey of state by state of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors, which does include Altria. Looking at the fact that also this company is lobbying strongly to not have the tax raised on people like yourself who are in the 1%. We know, of course, that Carlos Slim, who is no longer on your board but was on the board until 2006, has been recognized several times, including this year, as one of the wealthiest people in the world. And so certainly you're protecting their rights, not the rights of other people. And also this company has been noted as one of the companies that has fought, despite your presentation, against anything to do with the science involved with climate change and showing how it is happening. So I think that the proposal is a very modest one. There would not hurt you at all. We know that the bottom line is always your profit margin and that you do whatever advances the company, and it should advance the company to have some transparency. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Ann. And let me just make a comment on these last couple of statements. These issues, and Father Crosby raised one, and Ms. Donnelly has raised another one, issues like women's rights, issues like health care, government involvement in health care, tax reform. These are all complex issues. The company, when it works on legislative issues, tries to stay into the area of issues that are really of importance directly to the shareholder and the operation of the company. These larger societal issues, I think, have to be determined by society. So I appreciate you raising these topics. I can't tell you that all of what you said, I believe, is accurate relative to the company and what it's done. But I do think they're important issues. They need to be aired, and the country has to decide what direction it who wants to go on these. So thank you very much. Are there any other comments on this proposal? Okay, then those in the room that wish to vote on the shareholder proposal should do so now. Thank you. All the matters to be voted on have now been formally presented to the meeting. If you need to do so, please complete your proxy card. After you have done so, raise your hand, and the ushers will collect all the cards and deliver them to the inspectors of election. Since all shareholders have had the opportunity to vote, I declare the polls closed. The ushers should now have collected all the proxies, and they are directed to deliver them to the inspectors of election for counting. While the inspectors of election count the proxies, let me make a few concluding remarks. Altria has many strengths that make it particularly well positioned for future growth. Our tobacco companies will remain focused on growing their share of the revenues and profits generated by adult tobacco consumers. Their premium brands have strong equity, command higher margins, and have the opportunities to grow. Their deep understanding of adult tobacco consumers and access to intellectual property developed internally and in partnership with others will support their ability to pursue new revenue and profit streams. Cost management continues to be a priority across our businesses, supporting strategic investment and margin expansion. Our cash flows are robust and our balance sheet is strong, which supports superior cash returns to you, our shareholders. Earlier this year, I informed the board of my intention to retire as chairman and CEO, effective immediately following today's meeting. I am very pleased that our board has elected Marty Barrington to succeed me as chairman and CEO. I am equally pleased that they have elected Dave Brand to work with Marty as president and chief operating officer. Marty and Dave have made significant contributions in a variety of roles over the years. Their talent and experience give the board and me personally great confidence in their ability to lead Altria through its next phase of growth. Please join me in congratulating them and wishing them well in their new roles. It has been an honor to lead the reshaping of Altria following the completion of the Kraft and PMI spinoffs. I want to thank you, our shareholders, for your support and confidence in our company, and for allowing me to serve in this role during this exciting time. Altria benefits greatly from the diverse experiences of our exceptional board of directors. I thank them for their valuable insight and counsel they have provided to the company and to me personally over the years. And most importantly, I want to thank the passionate, talented, and dedicated employees of the Altria Company. It's your commitment, your hard work, to drive our strong business results and progress toward our mission. You are the reason that Altria is such a place, great place to work. Sorry. I'm truly thankful for the opportunity I've had to work alongside you for 23 years. Altria's and its companies have experienced significant change since I first joined the company. Change is not new for our companies. They have been successful for more than a century because they have demonstrated the ability to adapt in dynamic industries and to the world around them. I believe that Altria has the right strategies, the right people to successfully navigate an evolving environment to create strong returns for our shareholders into the future. I now ask that the inspectors of election deliver their report to the corporate secretary. Brant, will you please read the report?
The inspectors of election have completed the preliminary count of the vote, which I have received. The preliminary voting results are as follows. Each of the nominees for director has been elected with more than 93% of the shares voting for their election. The selection of PricewaterhouseCoopers as Altria's independent registered public accounting firm has been ratified with more than 98% of the shares voting in favor. Shareholders have approved on an advisory basis the compensation of the company's named executive officers with more than 94% of the shares voting in favor. The shareholder proposal has been defeated. 79.5% of shares voting on the proposal voted against the proposal, and 20.5% voted in favor. That concludes the report.
Thank you, Brant. Please file the inspector's report, the oath of the inspectors of the election, their certificate, and the proxies with the records of the meeting. We will post voting results on our website with a press conference following the meeting, and final voting results will also be filed in a Form 8K. I want to thank everyone for coming today, and please travel safely on your way home. I declare the meeting adjourned.